are you?
Great, Curtis. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
Good to see you guys. And I see Andy Reese there. How are you, Andy?
Curtis. Hey, Johnny. How are you?
Great. Andy, how you doing?
Good.
All right. And where is Lisa, who runs everything around there?
There's here I am. We have to separate around here.
Okay.
That's the purpose of a two-story house, Curtis.
Okay. I like it. So we're waiting for Hayden Ford.
Hayden
Ford. Okay.
He should be on here
any moment.
No, that's sometimes my little California accent comes through. So I apologize.
Since I'm married into this family, I wish they would have spelled it P-A-D-E-M because that's the way it sounds. Nobody knows how to pronounce it very good.
Well, there should probably be an acute accent over the E, you know?
That's right. I agree.
That's good.
We'll just wait for Hayden to join us and Hayden Ford, and then we'll kind of get going.
Yeah, I think Hayden's on.
Video.
Oh,
there you are.
Hello.
Hey, right, how you doing, Hayden?
Good. How about y'all?
Very good. So let's start the call off with, I've got some things I want to cover, but before we get started, let's talk about the things that you want to talk about first. And just give me an update on where you are and what questions that you have. Was there any carryover from our call last week that, you want to share with me in terms of what you may have gotten out of it or what you didn't get out of it, so on and so forth? So
I think we're good there. Lisa's pretty good about keeping us fit.
Okay.
Right, Lisa?
I'm trying.
She does. Oh, I mean, as far as the diet, the exercise, make sure you go outside. I caught her in the driveway a minute ago doing push-ups, so she was on that today already.
Okay.
That's stress management, okay? He doesn't know it, but that's okay. my stress reliever.
It's that or the baseball bat, Johnny.
That's it.
Right.
I love it. Okay.
I have an overall question, Curtis, meaning just since we started to now, and we've done a lot of what we're, you'll certainly be proud of Hayden once he gives you what he's done this week and Lisa as well.
Okay.
And I think I've done my part. Just say that we're about to start this thing and we can't kick it off until it's right. So I'm assuming that we start with a handful of our clients that we supernova to and initiate that with a small number.
Right.
And as the day go and we get more efficient and more, because we're lacking a little bit on the labor side, we're all three going to collectively have to build and get our folders in place.
Yeah.
So what's the correct way there? You know, I've got 11 names that I've already verbally said, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to be expecting a call from Lisa to schedule an appointment.
Okay.
And then our next step, I think, would be to get their folder to them. I'll personally visit with these people and say, here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And that I think is what kicks it off. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's really, the best way to do it. And quite frankly, if the folder is sent through the mail rather than hand delivered, and then you kind of explain a little more, look, we sent you a folder. Let me explain how to use this. You know, you might be watching, a financial network of some sort. You might be reading a financial publication and something will come to mind. Well, there's a place in there for you to jot it down. Things that you want to talk to me about. Maybe it could be anything. It could be a windfall. It could be something going on at the company. It could be about a bonus that you might be receiving. Anything that comes to your mind that you think is worthwhile for us to discuss, that will also become part of your agenda. So that's what you want to do. And you want to be able to set them up for the enthusiastically endorsed model so that they identify any other advisors that they're working with, attorneys, real estate agents, so on and so forth, so that you now have a source of names that potentially can get referred to you so that you could tell them, well, turn to that section in your folder and kind of take a look at that. So that's how you want to do it. Do I care how they get the folder? No. That was the one part of your question. The other part of the question is, you know, what's your pace? So what we'd like you to be able to do, Johnny, is have accountability for no more than 100 relationships. So if you think about it, you know, hey, if you did 20 a week, you'd be there in 5 weeks. That maybe isn't all that realistic for some people given staffing requirements. So if you did 5 to 10, and by the end of 12 weeks, everybody is in there, they're in the system, they're on the scheduler, I would say, hallelujah, well done. Okay? So I don't want you putting pressure, but I don't want you to lose ground. Because in Supernova, you're always in the first 12 weeks, is you're going to think you're behind.
Right.
Because there's always something that could be done. But don't let that
24 years so far.
Yeah. Don't let that, this is a journey. So don't let that bother you, okay?
Okay.
So, but the whole idea is we're trying to right-size that book and be able to offer that concierge service to your very best clients, because when we get the client acquisition, we want to be able to get personal introductions from those people. And when we get the client acquisition, which is the 8th week, and we can't get personal introductions, then you are way behind, okay? Because those are people who haven't been exposed to the concierge service. So as soon as you can get it done, the better, okay? Does that kind of help answer your question?
It did, yes.
Okay, good. Great question. Any other thoughts or questions before we get into some of today's material? Lisa?
I think, and Johnny and I were talking about it a little while ago, the follow-up per meeting. So that includes each, like there's going to be 8 phone calls, right? And 4 reviews. So that's our 12. So the monthly non-review call will have an agenda, a follow-up email communication with each client as well. Is that right?
Right. So the way that this should work is, once you've gotten the verbal agreement on the time and the date for that client call, that client is going to receive an email with this proposed agenda, okay? And these are going to be topics that you're going to cover. Now, it might be a portfolio review. It might be discussion on an educational topic like long-term care. It could be a discussion about lending. What I want you to be able to do on the educational type topics is I want you to batch process those calls out via a month. Okay. So you're not going to jump from, let's say you got five calls set up for the day. You're not going to jump to lending, to long-term care, to the required retirement plan distributions. You're going to want to try to batch process those calls out so that you got your script, your bullet points, everything that you want to cover in that conversation on a sheet, you know, that's right beside you, so that you're not jumping all over the place, trying to remember everything there is to know about lending. So when you are blocking out or batch processing out a call about lending or mortgages, you got your fact base right in front of you, okay? Now, where do these ideas come from? They come from the planning that you do. You uncover, you're like this lawyer who's going in, doing a deep dive and uncovering information. Oh, I made a new discovery here. If we take the consumer debt and do some securities-based lending, they can have deductible debt. Oh, I'm going to write that one down as an opportunity. So you're going to create these opportunities that are going to create these calls that go on, you know, every month with clients. So you're going to try to do four, maybe calls a day if you've got 100 in the pipeline. And then you're going to have the rest of that time for idea flow, doing some reviews, and client acquisition. Okay. So we're going to be very deliberate about client acquisition. Okay. So to get back to your original question, I know that was a long answer, Lisa, is you're going to send out the agenda in kind of a bullet point fashion. You know, we're going to talk about anything that you want to discuss that might be new or different. But these are some of the topics I want to discuss on our next call. Okay. And then you send that out and then you cover that when that call comes up. Then after the call takes place, your follow-up executive summary takes place. In the executive summary, you said, enjoyed my call. Glad about, you know, the addition of a new family member, your grandchild. Just want to remind you some of the points we covered. We discussed your mandatory retirement plan distribution. We said that you were going to get the insurance policies to me for a review. And on our next agenda, we want to discuss some additional portfolio concepts and the education of your children. Boom. So now you've set up your call and you know what the agenda is going to be on the next call. And you keep doing that and you'll never run out of agenda items. Now there's a point in Supernova where we're going to ask you to put together kind of an 18 to 24 month agenda of topics. Okay. Now we know that in a year, there's some agendas that are going to take place. We know we're going to have a discussion about taxes before year end. So that's one agenda. We know we're going to have a discussion about an economic overview. This is what we're thinking. This is what our analysts are telling us. This is what we're seeing, you know, in the coming year. So you're going to do that. You're going to do it twice. You're going to do it mid-year, and you're going to do it probably in the beginning of the year. Okay. And then all the other topics, RMD distributions, lending, mortgages, educational children, they all become subsets of topics for discussion. And I'd like you to think about those 24 topics. They're going to be in your financial plans anyway, but I want you to begin to extract them out and make that running list, because I want your clients to be able to say the Payden team leaves nothing out. They think of everything. Okay. And that's the first step in really creating this concierge service. And when that is honed down, you will get more assets from your existing clients, and you will get a strong quality of a referral for client acquisition. Okay? I promise you that that will happen. Okay. So let's talk about, before I do that, any other questions? And I think, Payden, you've got some things that you want to share in terms of, what's been going on, your new discoveries since you've been doing this?
Like people know, I've been working on sending people away pretty much. That's been my sole job. So, I think we had like 70 to send away, and I think I have like 7 or 8 left.
Wow.
Now those people, those are like the people that we actually talk to on a normal basis. So those are going to be the harder conversations.
Sure.
So I've been saving those for last.
Okay.
But hopefully they'll be done by the end of this week.
Wow. You've done so incredibly well, doing that. I'm not putting any pressure on when you get to those last final 7 or 8. You're doing a fantastic job. Fantastic. Okay. So far, your team is running about an A+ there on this stuff.
All right.
If I had to give out a letter grade, I'd give you an A right now. Okay. So.
And just so you'll know, Curtis, Johnny hasn't even said, let me call him back. He's letting him go. I'm proud of him for not even angsting over it too much, because, I was worried about his blood pressure there at first, but I think he's okay.
It looks like it's pretty low from what I can see. It looks like it's pretty low right now.
They gave me a bottle of, Curtis, they gave me a bottle of moonshine, okay?
It's not that white lightning that they make down there, is it?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, look, I'm proud of you guys. Let's talk about today's topic was about the flow of the folder system and the significance of it. You know, a lot of folks say, well, why folders? It's paper and, why don't we have the electronics? Well, there's something about going into a meeting and that client has their folder, you've got yours, and you can recall every conversation, and you got notes, you got copies of emails on all the agendas of what's going on in that relationship. Okay? And if you're using Salesforce or any of that and you're taking notes, I don't have any objections to that. But the folder system should have, for example, your team profile. It should have a picture. Get your little digital camera out. My little Samsung takes fantastic photos. Take them, crop them. Have your team bios. I know compliance has got to look at anything that you guys put out, but, and you probably have a format, and you probably already have a website. Just make sure every team member is there and is looking good, smiles on your faces, and presenting yourselves well. So when that client opens up that folder, they're seeing that team that's delivering that concierge service. So you want these to be an effective tool, and you aren't going to fully realize or comprehend how valuable that is until they start using it on a regular basis and you start using it on a regular basis.
Actually, Curtis, so,
yeah, go ahead.
Question. So, you know, the 12-4-2, the whole service model, do you have some sort of like a paragraph that we can stick on our like service tab on our website and something that we can maybe put inside of the folders that describes the whole 12-4-2 and the, you know, everything that we've talked about?
Actually, there have been people who have asked me for that. And what I will do, we have it in script form, but what I will do is I'll go into my file and I'll make a note to send you an insert. Because I do think that now your value proposition has kind of changed, right? Yeah. You know, it's providing this concierge service. And so it's fine to have something, you know, in the folder underneath your description of who you are and what you do. Mm-hmm. And part of that is this is the value that we bring to our clients. So let me, send you an insert within the next, day or so. For your folder. I'm going to make a note. Great comment. Okay. Now, who keeps the folders? The practice manager keeps the folders. So, for example, if we were in an office environment and I showed up in the office and I was just a quiet observer, I'm going to see, you know, maybe four folders on your desk. And the reason we want to get you used to this now is everybody gets a folder. Your centers of influence, they get a folder. Your prospects, they get a folder. Your clients, they get a folder. And if we get to a point where we're creating a mastermind group, there is a folder for your mastermind group. Okay. So everybody gets a folder so that you can immediately recognize who these people are, you know, before you make your calls. So if I'm an outside observer, I'm looking and I'm seeing that you've got these folders on your desk and, of who you're going to call that day. It's got the, you open it up. Oh, this is the agenda. These were the next steps that we talked about. So you're ready for that call and you only need like 2 minutes or 3 minutes to take a look to know exactly what you're going to cover on that call. Okay. Does that make sense?
Curtis, we've, and Peyton has witnessed it more than I have, but in the last year or so, we've watched or year and a half, the another group that sits right around us.
Okay.
Do this. So we've been kind of in awe of how they do it. So now we get to do it on our own, hopefully. So, but I am challenged by the folder preparation. Who's going to be doing the, you know, the follow up, the preparation of the meetings and the fact that we have, not only Johnny with 100 clients, but Peyton with 100 clients. So, but right. I do think that the folder piece will really help us stay on track. So I'm intrigued and it will be a task.
Yeah. So when that folder comes back to you, when it comes back to you, you want to make sure that, that executive summary is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, when it goes out, you want to make sure that that reminder email is in there with the agenda. Okay. So those are the two things you want to look at in the folder. And, you know, if you want to use a yellow pad, you can't quite see that, but you can put some notes in there, you know, about what you talked about. But if you want to just take your notes and put them in an email format, that's perfectly acceptable. Okay. Now, so there's a sample email after you close the loop on a client meeting. And this is going to distinguish you because very few FAs do this. But the sample email is going to have their name. Look, it was great catching up with you. Two main items came out of today's meeting. We want to add 5%, you know, to the fixed income portfolio through the use of, you know, a BlackRock, you know, preferred. And we're going to reduce our exposure in GE Capital, whatever. You're going to put that in an email. Now, compliance has got to love you for this because what you've done is you've demonstrated, you know, what you've communicated to the client, you've documented it, and it's going into your folder. So, and you go on to describe exactly what you agreed to and what the next steps are, and you're going to provide my assistant, Christy, with a number, with a copy of beneficiaries for your new life insurance policy. And also set up a meeting for me to meet your brother, which is a way of getting a potential referral. Okay. So that goes just a very short, you know, email with about 8 sentences. That's all. Okay. Don't be long drawn out, because you're not going to have a lot of time for that, okay? So the workflow now is Lisa is in charge, just like if I walked into an attorney's office, or just give you an appointment, the doctor's office, the administrator establishes the appointment. And after that meeting is held, I see that administrator again to determine when my next meeting is going to be occurring, okay? Just so there's no misunderstanding. Lisa controls that process. So you don't set up those meetings anymore on your own. She's in charge of the schedule and the calendar. You want to go work out? Check with Lisa. You want to go eat lunch? This is your lunchtime. Check with Lisa. Okay? She's in control of your schedule. Okay? So she knows where everybody is in the loop. She's like the air traffic controller. Planes are taking off, they're landing. She's in control of all that. Okay. All right. So we've talked about agendas. We've talked about executive summaries. So the next thing that we're going to be doing is building this pipeline of prospects. Now, they may be people that you have been talking with. They now get placed on the calendar and treat it as if they were clients, okay? So they're getting that service for a period of 90 days. That's called a 90-day free look, where they're treated as if they were a client, okay? So begin to really find out who is a legitimate prospect. They get a folder. So when I come into your office, I would see folders that are specific for that day on calls you're going to be making to those prospects. Got a question?
Yeah. What do you, if you want us to talk to the prospects like their clients, what do you have to talk about if you like you don't have their accounts and you don't maybe know enough about them to talk about stuff, okay, you know, if they're brand new?
Okay.
You don't really know them.
That's a great question. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but let me give you a preview, because we're not totally there yet. We're just trying to identify and isolate the prospects. So you're going to give them this 90-day free look, and you're going to talk to them about the you're going to learn a little bit from the profiling of them, a little bit about their portfolio. And you're going to talk to them about that. You're going to talk to them about what your research analysts are currently recommending. So you're treating them as if they were clients, but they're not. You're going to talk to them about financial planning. Have you done a financial plan? Has it been reviewed recently? Let me take an opportunity to review the plan with you. So, you know, when can I get access to a copy of it? That becomes one of the next steps you're going to fulfill with that conversation. Okay. You're going to ask people if there was a level of importance, what would be the top two or three things that are utmost in importance in your life right now? Write it down. Okay. So that becomes a means of you being able to refer back to that conversation when you get on the phone with that prospect. Okay. Is that starting to make sense that you're not going to run out of things to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. Great question. Okay. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is the five steps for developing centers of influence. You know, one good COI can completely change the dynamic, and we're really looking for you to create six centers of influence. Okay. Now, these could be CPAs, they could be attorneys, they could be real estate, commercial, residential, you know, people who are around a lot of people. Now, I had someone get a relationship with the president of a local chamber. Now, inside the chamber, there were like 60 individuals. And what this FA wanted to do was meet anybody that was a physician or an attorney, and wanted that president to make personal introductions. Now, if all you did was get one personal introduction of a very affluent client once a month from just that one center, you know, that's when you're bringing in somebody that's got a net worth of $1 million or more on every time you open up a new relationship. And so what you do with that center of influence is you educate them on your model, on your concierge model, so that they can see that you differentiate yourself. It's going to be a personal introduction, and that the folks that are introduced to you are going to be treated with kid gloves. Did I give you a script on that, on a VIPSA script? That comes in 8, but I'm going to send it to you in advance, okay? So I'm going to make a note to send that VIPSA script, which will help you with identifying new prospects and working with centers of influence, okay? So in the first meeting, you're going to introduce yourself and Supernova, and you're going to give them a mini-me folder, okay? On the second meeting, you're going to meet with their team. So if this is a CPA, and they've got an assistant and a couple of CPAs working for them, you'll want to meet with them, and you're going to bring your team to that meeting so that they can meet your team. Now, look, given COVID, we're going to be doing this virtually, right? But in other circumstances, we'd probably be putting on our nice clothes and going out and meeting with that person at their place of business. Right now, we're going to do it virtually. So that's the second meeting. The third meeting, you're going to make an introduction of the team and the five-star model. You're going to explain who does what on the team and how your clients are treated, and you're going to explain 12-4-2. On the fourth meeting, you're going to teach the center of influence the enthusiastically endorsed model. So remember, when you're having these conversations with your clients and you say, hey, by the way, what CPA are you working with? You're going to write down the name and you're going to ask, can you enthusiastically endorse that CPA? Who does your estate planning? Oh, can you enthusiastically endorse this attorney? Now, let me tell you the problems a lot of people run into with these professionals. They don't hear from them. Okay? When it's time to get the taxes done, the person is sending out the tax organizer in January. That's the first time that they've really spoken to that CPA since the previous year. So now we're saying, can you enthusiastically endorse this person? Now you're going to find that there are going to be some clients that have maybe some common ground. And what you're going to do is you're going to ask that client, with your permission, is it okay for me to make contact with your CPA? Many of my clients are looking for competent individuals that they can work with. So that becomes part of your golden Rolodex. Now, somebody that's enthusiastically endorsed. And the idea is you want them to enthusiastically endorse you because they now understand your service model and your concierge practice. That's how this comes full circle. Let me pause right there. Make sure everybody got that point because that's really important. Any questions on that, Johnny?
No, I found it difficult in the past to get to accountants. They're extreme. I'm close with a handful of them. I mean, we've talked to two today, Lisa. You know, we interact with clients and them, and I know all the accountants in the firm personally, but to get them to sit down, and it sounds like not a kumbaya, but a, you know, let's get to know each other a little better type. I don't know. And with what's going on right now, I'm not making excuses. The PPP program, they are just slammed for time right now. Actually, right. They don't let anybody in their office.
Right. So here's how I would,
they're shut down for COVID.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. That'll be over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand that. And I think so a lot of this has to be done virtually. And the other thing is, look, you know, I'm a financial advisor, with Merrill Lynch. We are currently managing over $100 million in client assets. And, many of my clients need, a competent CPA. And I wanted to take a moment to introduce myself to you and some of the services that I provide in the hopes that maybe there's a relationship between the two of us. Now, what is the guy going to say? I have no time to spend with anybody who's managing $100 million in assets that have clients that may have a need for my services? I don't think so. I think that's unless this is a person that says, look, I got more affluent clients than I can stand right now. Okay, then okay. But what you want to do is stroke them by saying, hey, look, many of the clients that I'm currently working with have enthusiastically endorsed you, and they suggested that we take some time to meet each other. So try that. Bet you it works.
Okay.
So, and you're going to do that the same thing, whether it's a CPA or an attorney or or a physician or what have you. Okay? You're going to use that model. So on the fourth meeting, you are teaching this center of influence how to use the enthusiastically endorsed model, which means, can you enthusiastically endorse me to your client? You're going to teach them. So you're giving them some value. And then on the fifth meeting, you're going to have your first scheduled meeting with the COI. You're going to give them the agenda, the folder. You're going to send an executive summary of the agreed upon steps. Okay. So if you notice the cycle and how you treat each person that has the folder is so similar that you're not even going to have to think about what the difference is. Okay. All right. This will not be the last time we talk about COIs. It'll become more refined as we get into week number 8 and start to talk about client acquisition. So here's your assignment for week number 5. The director of planning is got to be prepared to give an update on how we're doing with segmentation. The director of plan implementation should be prepared to give an update on segmenting the investment process. You know, that basically is cataloging opportunities. Okay. Number 3, the director of brand is got to be prepared to give an update on implementation of the scheduling tool. Have you had that meeting with Cindy yet?
I have.
Oh, okay. Great. So you should provide an update on how that's working with the agenda and the executive summary added to the client meetings. Okay. Because remember, that's all part of your concierge practice. The director of marketing is prepared to give an update on the number of prospects you will need to meet your goals. Okay. So next week, let's talk about now we've hit some targets and let's talk about if we're going to get our business to X level, how many new relationships of your targets are going to be needed to get that incremental growth that you're looking for, okay? So if your target, as an example, is a million and, you know, you get a 0.08 velocity rate on $1 million, that's like $8,000, right? Per relationship. So if you're trying to grow your business and add 50,000 incrementally, that's suggesting that you're going to need around 7 relationships that have $1 million or more. Okay. I'm confident that when we get into client acquisition, that those numbers will be explosive and you'll have to raise your minimums. Okay. I truly, truly believe that. So I want you to just think about that, for next week. So make your list of your COIs, set up your first COI meeting, begin to build folders for your COIs, and the director of leadership we'll review this inverted pyramid where the practice manager is now in control of the schedule. And then you read chapter 6 and you watch the week 6 video. So that's what we've got going forward. Any questions about anything that we talked about today? You're probably thinking, oh man,
this never ends. This is technical, Lisa. But on the attachment from I guess Cindy, whoever sent it out, and it's got week 4 assignment. That's the same homework as on this that you just laid out for week 6. That says week 4 assignment, and this is week 5. It's basically the same.
Yeah, it just hasn't been.
I'm getting a little confused on the attachment that we.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that hasn't been updated. So stick with, you know, what I'm asking you to do. You'll be fine. Okay.
Okay, I lost you a little bit.
I'm just saying that the assignment, I know you said that the assignments were similar. And just, no, just stick with what I've just described to you for week 5.
Okay, gotcha.
Because we had to take that time for you to go through the scheduler anyway.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Peyton, Ford, any questions?
Good.
Okay. Johnny?
You just heard from our compliance officer, just so you know. Lisa.
Lisa is on top of it.
It's like herding cats. Okay, Curtis, I got to keep these two fellas here on the same page with me. Hey, or either they're going to kick me off. I'm not sure which one it is.
I would say, yes, ma'am, you are in control. All right.
I'm trying.
JR, anything you want to add before we close?
Just how proud I am of this group. It's similar to the email I sent you last week after the group call. I think you're doing a phenomenal job. I think you're showing up prepared. It's obvious that you're communicating and putting in the work. Curtis, you're doing a great job of shepherding us through this. Peyton, I'll connect with you separately. We're looking at, an opportunity to move some small accounts to the CAC and resolve some of the issues with doing that. It sounds like you've done a great job of relocating those already. So that may be moot, but to the extent that it's helpful, I'll just touch base with you to talk through that some to see if that helps with offloading accounts. But keep up the great work.
Yeah. Guys are doing great. I'm going to send you an article I wrote on how to use the executive summary to create this connection with the client. So I'm going to send you an insert for the folder on 1242. I'm going to send you out this VIPSA script because I think you all are ready for that. And I'm going to send you a copy of this article on how to use the executive summary. So those are the three things that aren't in the Supernova book that I've kind of created that I want to give you access to. Okay. All right. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.